come to Shelter from Oblivion and rent the hit movies you want, when you want them, with the Shelter from Oblivion Movie Rental Guarantee. This week, the Shelter guarantees you can rent Dead Pit, She Devil, and The Burbs, starring Tommy Hanks. These hit movies will be at the Shelter from Oblivion guaranteed. Shelter from Oblivion guarantee does not guarantee movie availability.
Sister's old day bed from the 80s, but it's like there's like blood seeping from it, like maybe like it's curled up so there's like some teeth exposed or something. That'd be rad.
It's just like, oh no.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting here in the shelter. It is a rainy, nasty day out. It's the kind of day where you just kind of sit around and you're like, oh, there's nothing to do, there's nothing on TV. Now, when we were little, when you had a day like this, you would get in the car and you'd head down to the video store.
That's what you did. I mean, it rained a lot in the Northwest.
Yeah. Both of us come from like a movie fan background. And so we wanted to talk about like all the things that we miss from video stores. And reaching out to you guys on the internet, by the way, Shelter from Oblivion, now on Instagram and Facebook, shelter.from.oblivion.
Straight to internet, if you will.
So if you want to check us out over there, but some of the stuff that I've been putting out, it seems like a lot of people are really yearning for video stores to come back, even though almost everyone has fully embraced the digital technology.
You know what the digital technology is lacking, Matt? What the video store had? Community.
I was watching something just yesterday where people were talking about community and feeling part of like a bigger thing was one of the main reasons they like going to video stores. They like talking to the people behind the counter. You know, you always got your Devin, your Randy, you know, your Kevin. And they always seem to know what's cool.
If you were an introvert, you didn't have to talk to those. They had a little rack, a whole display with some of their picks.
Vincent stopped making picks.
Well, how am I going to know what movies to see?
We have a wide variety of Gene picks.
Gene's trash.
I'm Gene.
Hi.
I remember Friday night, there was a lot of excitement around going to the video store, especially if you were going to be staying over at friends' houses. Like when you're 12 or 13 and you have like a sleepover planned, right? You know, there's going to be pizza. You know, there's going to be soda. You guys all get in the car and somebody's mom drives you down to a video store. And for some reason, it's just this license to act like complete animals.
You run in there. Yeah. It's like video. What are we going to do? Video games, videos.
Yeah. You're looking through all the horror movies, stuff you want to see. Your guys are talking about like, okay, well, this one's probably going to have a boob. So it's like, it's a little higher on the list. Right. Or like, you know, hey, we've already seen this one, but yeah, it was awesome. Like I can't match that excitement in my life now. There's very little that kind of has that effect on me of being able to go and get a movie and then know that you're going to go back and you're going to sit with your friends and you're going to like tell jokes through it or like, you know, you're going to be transported somewhere, you know, some great action.
And I think that goes back to like the community of a video store. Like it really was a community. It was either family night and you were going to get a movie with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And whatever you chose, that's what you had for the weekend. Or it was a video game sleepover and you were going to get this video game and everyone was going to try to beat it, take turns playing it. You had sleepovers where you're finding horror films. Mm-hmm. Or you had a video store where you actually talked to people about movies. Like, hey, you've seen this before or that. You know, and I think that is something that we're starved for today. I think there's so much that you can just get at home that you're staying at home.
Yeah.
You're watching movies by yourself. Like there is something about the excitement of watching a movie, like in a theater, when a movie opens and everyone's excited and cheering at the screen, when you're having a movie night with all your friends and everyone's kind of happy. Sometimes you have so much fun, no one's actually watching the movie.
Yeah.
But the movie brought you all together for the night.
Yeah, it was the ritual that was there for that. And it's when you talked about having that, the movie is what you had for the weekend. That's true in a lot of ways. I remember very specifically, we rented, my sister and I don't know how we were allowed, but we rented Hellraiser 2. And we ended up watching it that evening of Friday evening, right? It's the summer. And so we watched that. And then the next day, you know, it's a Saturday in the summer. And outside of like some chores, we didn't have shit all to do. Yeah. So we just watch it again. Like having the ability to rent VHS movies was different for different people in the fact that some people were really regulated on what they were able to rent. So you're a young person and you go in there with your parents and they're like, you have to walk up and you have to show them the video. This is what I want. Then they have to look at it and go, okay, fine. I approve. All right. And then there were other people that just got to rent whatever they wanted. I've heard interesting stories about people who their parents would have an account and they would just say, yeah, my son's, you know, has like older tastes and he's okay. You know, so just whatever he wants to rent, just let him do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like there were those weird handshake agreements at some places. And I don't remember being regulated on what I wanted to watch. I don't have one memory of walking up and showing my parents a video and going, can I have this?
Yeah.
And them going, oh no, that's too violent. Like, I don't think they cared. I would just throw my movie on their stack and just go about my day.
Yeah, my parents are always watching like worse things than like what I could even pick out. So it was like, all right, just throw it on, let's see what happens.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing because I was able to have access, for good or for bad, to movies that maybe I shouldn't have been watching early on. Like, I don't know how I was able to watch RoboCop so early.
Yeah.
That movie came out in 1990. I was 10 years old and I definitely saw that on video very early.
Me too.
And I don't know how that came about.
I think back now too, like,
and my parents are great parents. Hey, mom and dad, if you're listening, you did a great job. You did wonderful work, but this is just one of those areas you didn't seem to give a crap about.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure why.
I think it was a whole generation. Yeah. Like, cause I look at some of those movies and I can't believe that I was watching this with my parents and at no point where someone's like, yeah, you know what? You should leave the room. Like,
yeah. A video store really opened your world up to things you may have not seen otherwise.
What was interesting is for a lot of us, for me, I have the specific memory of when, Indiana Jones Temple of Doom came out. And the media, like, they, you know, it was PG turned into PG-13. That was like the first PG-13 film. And the media was so crazy about how there's this scene in the movie and you should take your kids out of the cinema when you watch it. And so it's when he pulls the heart out of the guy's chest.
Oh, yeah. Naman Shiva.
And my parents, again, my dad showed us Platoon when I was a kid. You know, my parents, we watched anything. No one cared about what we rented.
Yeah.
But the media was so on top of that movie that my mom made my dad take me and my brother out of the theater when that scene came. And I remember going to school the next day and hearing people talk about it. And I was like, oh, man, what did I miss? What did I miss? And it was like a year and a half before that came out on video. And when I finally saw that scene, I was like, really? Really? That? I had to leave the theater
for
that?
Be sure to drink my, like, Ovaltine?
Yeah, I was like, that was nowhere
Son
near.
Of a bitch.
You know. Yeah, so yeah, I got to watch whatever I wanted, unless the news was telling your parents, hey, take your kids out of the cinema for this.
Yeah, I never experienced any of that. I mean, nothing. I don't remember anything ever being off limits directly, for good or for bad.
Yeah.
I might be a very weird person now.
Hey, you're in a shelter talking about movies, so, you know.
Blockbuster.
I still have my Blockbuster card. I still have my Hollywood Video card.
Yeah, I have Hollywood Circle Video. I still had my Circle Video, which was like a little paper thing.
Yeah. That's what I love about membership cards is they came in all sorts of different styles and like sizes. Sometimes people just would cut out printed pieces of like red paper.
Because I felt like it was like, at least for me, I feel like my first laminated card was like either Hollywood or Blockbuster. Like
usually
that's when
the bigger
places.
That's when
it got fancy corporate. Yeah. They're like, look what we have.
But like the smaller ones were like, sometimes maybe they would take the actual time to go have cardboard cards printed. And then there'd be a little space where they'd write your account number on it. You'd have to keep that in your wallet.
Yeah, you'd have the handwritten, handwritten account.
Well, I remember Hollywood Video, like when your card, if your card got jacked or like if you washed your pants and your card was all jacked up, you know, they had that whole process right there at the table of like making the card. They'd print it out nice and then they'd put it through the little laminator right there for you. It was like watching Krispy Kreme donuts get made. It was pretty cool. But yeah, I loved having your own membership card to a thing.
Your Velcro wallet finally had something to put in it.
Yeah. And it was cool. Like when your parents would like give you the card when you were old enough, your parents would like, here's the card, go rent your thing. And it was very cool to have that kind of responsibility.
Here, it's a video store membership. I'm banned. You're not. I prepaid for 50 movies, which should last you about a month.
Andy, with great power comes great responsibility. You understand that?
You will. Like,
when you had that card, that also meant, that meant that you could take, but you also had to return.
Yeah. And when you returned, you better rewind that tape because they will charge you for that.
What are you returning?
Rochelle, Rochelle.
Oh, Rochelle, Rochelle. A young girl's strange erotic journey from Milan to Memphis?
Yeah.
That'll be $3.49.
$3.49? It says $1.49.
Well, you didn't rewind it. There's a $2 charge for not rewinding.
There's no signs here. This is an outrage.
The rewind fee, I felt like, I mean, me, I don't know about everyone else and their bad habits, but you always seem to like, we're going to the video store, quick, start rewinding all these tapes.
So my question, though, really is, did that ever actually happen to you? Did you ever remember paying a rewind fee? Or was this more of a cultural thing that did happen, but it happened selectively?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever remember paying a rewind fee.
I don't know if I ever paid a rewind fee, but I remember my parents were, like, they were always like, okay, like we're going to the video store. We got to start rewinding tapes. Or they would ask you, did you rewind this? And you're like, of course not. Of course I didn't rewind this. It's like, ooh. Yeah. You know, cause like for it to automatically rewind would have meant you just left a tape on and you just went and did something else and they waited till it like clicked and rewound itself. That never happened. You just took it out. You either put something else in. Or I don't know why, or why you just didn't rewind. It was always, for us, it was the last minute. And you never realize, for some generations who have never even rewound a VCR tape, it takes a lot longer than you think it would. You couldn't see the tape being rewound. You just heard it rewinding. So every once in a while, you'd hit play just to be like, how far? Are we almost to the end?
Yeah.
And you're like, the middle of the tape? I mean, not even halfway through?
Rewinding got to such a point in our culture that we actually started selling devices that would just rewind your tapes. For any of you who haven't experienced this, you know, you go look these up, these tape rewinders. It's just another box that sits next to your VCR.
And which it's deceiving because it still takes a while, but not nearly as long as...
Yeah, and these things became so prevalent that they started like making different styles of them. They made them in different colors. The fanciest one probably was like the red Corvette. A lot of people will remember seeing that in magazines or like seeing that in those circulars, you know, around Black Friday, getting your $29.99 Corvette shaped tape rewinder.
We never had one of those fast rewind. I mean, I think I had to be like rewind envy for people who had those like fast little.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, we were doing very well. We were doing well enough that we had two VCRs and we had a tape rewinder for sure. So, no, I mean, no big deal.
You know, how the other half live people.
But it's funny because when you talk about the rewind fee, you could really get screwed. So let's say you're renting this thing for like $2.99. Then if you come back and you haven't rewound it, that's another like $3 fee. And then on top of that, you're going to incur, if you brought it back late, a late fee. So if you didn't rewind it, right, and you got it back late, you were paying for that one rental upwards of like almost $8 if you did everything wrong.
You know, and if you had responsible parents, they'd return it midday or whatever. If you had parents like mine, you were like, okay, we got to return this movie in 30 minutes. Now you're rewinding it. So now you're like, if I don't get this rewound and back in time, they're going to blame me for this. We got to get, there's always some kind of panic at the end.
Yeah. Videos were no joke back in the day. You guys think it was all smiles, you know, because you see commercials like, what a difference, Blockbuster Video. But, you know, there was a lot of stress there in that home stretch to not incur a late fee. And, I think, honestly, homes were broken up.
Now you can rent all new releases or anything else for 5 days.
Really?
Yeah, so you can just enjoy it at your own pace. At other video stores, you only get 1 day on new releases. So you can't enjoy it because you're too worried about getting it back on time, you know? And then you got to fly out the door in order to get to the video store before it closes. And then the kids are screaming, "We want ice cream!" And you say, "Well, there's no time." And they say, "Well, you don't love us anymore!" And the clock is ticking and the phone is ringing and the late fees are piling up so high.
It's a little more than the rewind fee. It was the replacement fee. Because videos were not $19.99 back in the 80s. You lost a videotape? What happened?
Yeah. No, if you lost a videotape in the mid-80s to the late 90s, you were going to be paying an upwards of probably $80 to replace that single video.
Yeah, some of them might be $100. Seinfeld, yeah. It was $98 to replace Rochelle.
How could that piece of crap cost $98?
If you went to the video store and you didn't own a VCR, were you just shit out of luck?
Funny story. My family, we were actually that family who didn't have a VCR for a long time. So I remember having to get, you know, you get that big clunky suitcase VCR.
What color was yours?
It was a big black box, you know, with the handle.
Yeah.
I remember your parents would want you to help them figure out how to like connect it to the TV.
Yes. As you know, and as we previously established, I grew up deeply privileged.
I did not.
So I did not have to rent a VCR.
Well, you had two.
Yeah. So if one broke, we had a backup. It was not a problem.
We had to rent them. And, you know, you had to put down a deposit. Like, and it was like a really big deposit. I felt like they should have given you like handcuffs to put one on your arm, one on the VCR. Because if someone would have like taken that from us, we would have been screwed.
What I want to know is how did those things even work? Because they stayed in the briefcase.
Yeah,
right?
So they stayed in the, it was connected. It was one giant like briefcase.
Yeah.
And so what would happen is you had the handle. Then on one side would have the wires that went into your TV.
Okay.
And then on the the front side that almost would have been like set. Yeah. Like
where did the tape go?
The tape went on the other side. So like it was almost like the VCR was like kind of square, like rectangle.
Okay.
And so like you'd have the suitcase. One end is where you put the tape and where you could rewind and play. The other end would have a little opening where it would include some of the wires to connect to your TV.
Yeah. See, I just missed out on all of that because I can't remember if it was Hollywood Video. They had orange briefcases, or the orange briefcases might have been for the video game systems, which is also awesome. So it's like you could have a full experience of a video game without actually having to invest in the system.
You know, most kids had a Nintendo, but you were on the fence, or, you know, they were so expensive. It's like you had one.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember you'd have like six or seven kids on the block had a Nintendo, and like one would have like a Sega Genesis, and then one would have like a Neo Geo.
We didn't talk to that kid.
No.
He stayed inside a lot.
Yeah. He chose poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of why I didn't really get jealous of people who had Segas or at the time or anything. Like I'd gotten a Nintendo. And so
we're going to get some hate. We're going to get some hate comments for the Sega people. And I'm sure there's a lot of Sega stuff that we're missing out on.
Altered Beast. Fucking Altered Beast.
That was probably one of their top.
Yeah, that's something that I never got to play in my own house. I probably spent the better part of my allowance on playing it in the arcade.
Yeah.
Welcome to your doom.
I remember very specifically, I put it in my notes that a video game that I used to rent all the time was the Capcom's Yo Noid game, with the Domino's Pizza Avoid the Noid.
That guy was everywhere.
Dude, I just
Claymation stop motion.
Yeah, I love that game so much because he had this like, it was like a pogo stick with like a giant weight on the bottom.
Like a pizza anvil.
Yeah, like a pizza anvil. And so it was like just being able to like jump around on that. I don't know. It was such a fun game for me and I would rent it multiple times, more times than I probably should have.
Yeah, the Noid was like, it was definitely like, before there's that, you know, there's that insurance commercial, like Mr. Mayhem.
But it was like, now I look back and I think, what are all the games that I missed? Like, what's all the shit I didn't play? Because I was so busy with the Noid.
This is the Noid. He loves to ruin your pizza. If you've ever gotten cold pizza, a squashed pizza, or pizza that just wasn't right, the Noid did it. But at Domino's Pizza, we avoid the Noid. So when you want hot, delicious quality pizza delivered in less than 30 minutes, Domino's Pizza delivers. One call does it all.
The other one I actually really liked, my friend, he owned Mega Man, the original Mega Man, and we would go to his house and play that all the time. And so when Mega Man 3 came out,
that was a big release.
That I rented that a ton. I loved Mega Man 3. I was a big fan of like Sparkman and Needle Man. Like I love and Magnet Man. I liked when you would kill Magnet Man and you get his powers. You get to shoot magnets around.
When I was a kid,
yeah, I played that a ton though.
When Mega Man 3 came out, like I remember like the Mega Man games specifically. It was like we would. You would get the game for the weekend, and we were always trying to beat the game before you returned it.
So oh, that like, was a challenge,
so
right?
For Mega Man, it was like you would either be at home playing, and you put like a towel or a shirt over your Nintendo, so when your parents went to bed, they thought it was off, and then you could then put the and then keep playing, because you're like, I got to get this beaten before Sunday,
yeah,
before I have to go to sleep for school the next day.
I know, that was always the worst part about it, is like the games didn't, like later games saved to your system.
Yeah, you'd have the code, Metroid, you'd write down the code, mm-hmm. Other things.
And then, yeah, and then like there were different gaming systems where you would like put in a card, like Sony's PlayStation, you know, you'd put in that little card and it would be your data card. So you could put any game in and it would remember your data. But early on, like, you know, people, I was watching somebody where they were playing Legend of Zelda. And it was a rental copy. So it's the stress was always, I'm going to give this back. I've saved to the game. And when I rent it again, is my save going to be there? Or is somebody else's save going to be over mine? You got as far as you got in the game and that was it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, you kind of learned to pick games that you were okay with that with. Like you'd pick like Contra because you're like, okay, I know the Konami code. I get my 30 lives. I'm going to blitz through this game as much as possible. However far I get is how far I get. I'm fine.
I remember like, you know, like Metroid or Kid Icarus, you had codes. You seem to like start in okay places. I remember Bionic Commando, wherever your code was, you always started at the beginning of some episode, some like level. That game was so hard to beat. That was one of those games that like you did not beat by Sunday night. You were like, I'm coming back for you.
Think of all the mature, responsible things you could be doing. Helping old ladies cross the street, proudly maintaining your yard, hanging with your folks, or cleaning your room. But get real, we'd rather be playing video games. You can rent them from Blockbuster. They've got more of the coolest Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis games for rent than anyone in the world. So dudes, why not get your game through Blockbuster? It's the mature thing to do.
I kind of took for granted that videos exist. You know, because by the time you're like 5, 6, 7 years old and you've been to multiple video stores and videos are, I mean, we're sitting right next to a case, a glass case in the shelter filled with videotapes. Videotapes were deeply prevalent by the mid-80s. You just don't question why. It makes sense. Yeah, you would want to take this movie that you couldn't see in theaters anymore because you've ran it out and you want to make more money off of it. That makes a lot of sense. But early on, that was not the case. Studios did not like the idea of being able to put their medium on a rewatchable tape and then have that rented out. They thought that was going to really impact you know, the Hollywood system, the movie system, the theater system. They were very against it early on.
My parents, they were young parents. We were at the video store all the time when I was a kid.
See, my parents, I remember going to the video store, but I don't really, they weren't like movie enthusiasts that I could tell. Like, we always owned movies. Movies were in our house. And when you could start buying VHS, they would buy them. But they never really talked to us about movies they liked. They never really tried to create a shared experience most of the time. I think the first movie I remember renting with them and watching together was Back to the Future.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I distinctly remember sitting in our back room and the family watching that movie. We embraced, I would say, the video store. It was very normal for us to go.
Yeah, I think for my dad, it was like, we were at the video store. I mean, that for us, that was Friday. Like, almost every Friday, we'd go to the video store. And I remember my dad was like, he was the kind of guy who took me to rated R movies. I remember when Platoon came out on video, he felt like me and my brother needed to watch this, because for him, it was like the first Vietnam film that really kind of captured the experience that him and my uncle and other people who had been in Vietnam kind of went through. For me, I was like, I don't know if this is age appropriate. That movie was pretty intense.
Yikes.
But that was like, yeah, my parents. And when cable finally hit our town, my mom had, like, you know, American Movie Classics before TMC. Like, that was always on the house. Like, we had one TV, and you would have to wait till one of those. I would watch those movies just so when the movie finished, another movie didn't start, and then I could turn on the Nintendo and play a game.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't there the second the movie was over, she'd start another movie, and then you had to wait till that movie was over.
Oh, man. You know how a trend comes up and something is all over? Like,
yeah.
People just adopt this thing, and for a while it flares up, and it's all over. And video stores were kind of the same way, because I remember there was a video store, the very first one we ever went to, was in this tiny strip mall. On the outskirts of where we lived a little bit set off from the main part of our town. And there was a strip mall that had a video store in it. And it was probably the size of like two good sized bedrooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was servicing a pretty big area, but it's like there was a video store in there. And then when that shut down, they turned an old bank into a video store, Circle Video. Right.
That was a great
not even too far, like a stone's throw from the.
It's like a little hole in the wall, but they cram packed that.
Yeah.
With displays and videos.
But then it's like, then you would go to the grocery store. We had an Albertsons that had a video store in it. And in the strip mall that Albertsons was in was also a video store.
I remember that one. That was another Circle Video. That was the other side of town.
That was the other Circle Video.
Yeah, that was the other side of town.
So it's like they almost started, they were like, people complained about Starbucks being like, oh, the Starbucks is like right down from the Starbucks. That's how it was with video stores for a while.
I remember as a kid, you started off with just the small mom and pop video stores or just some hobbyist. And you felt like you were going into somebody's man cave or somebody's bedroom. They'd have all their favorite posters up. Every once in a while, they'd have some of the newer promotions. But you could tell, like, this video store, this person loved horror. This video store was all about classic Hollywood or, you know, it was very specific to the one owner, where all of a sudden it became more corporate and maybe a little more sanitized, something you'd find like in a strip, like in a mall. But at the same time, you were amazed because you were like, there's so much selection here. It's aisle after aisle after aisle.
Yeah, it's hard for people to remember, but a lot of you out there will remember your early video store experiences being more like, there's probably a lot of brown, a lot of wood paneling.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of...
it was always dark.
Yeah, there were posters and little handwritten things that said like, you know, popcorn, $2.99.
With so many different stores that rent videos, competition has become a big factor. So why still go to a particular video store when price may be better somewhere closer to home?
We cater their demands wherever they tell us what they want, and we try to get it. And we have a large horror section, and of course we're real heavy in new releases. We get a lot of so-called B movies. That's not the most known movies in the world, but they're good movies that, you know.
Will those be old movies that have been around for a while?
Some of the classics. We have a bunch of classics.
When I go into, a supermarket that rents videos, seems like they'll just have really a lot of the current releases that were popular movies, and then maybe some old sentimental favorites and things. Mm-hmm. I could see maybe one advantage of coming to a store like this is you have a much larger selection of movies that are current releases, but older movies, too, that have been put on video. Is that true?
That's true, because they don't have time to fool with it. It's there to make money for them, which is the same thing here, but they treat it like we treat our Coca-Cola. It's just a little something to bring in income. Maybe some of them use them as a loss leader.
What about the future for you? For videos, is there a future for video stores? Considering that now all these stores, like the supermarkets, convenience stores, are selling and renting videos, is there going to be a future, or is there going to be a decline in video stores?
Well, I think it's going to be a great future. I think there's going to be a lot of dropout, a lot of fallout. We've already seen it in Irving. We've had several stores close, and we're going to be here when the dust settles. I guarantee you.
Right. So you look at old record stores, and you see they have the promotional posters on the wall, sort of like put up however the people who are working there kind of wanted to do it. And there's all these rows of like records, maybe some CDs. There's like young kids in there, you know, fingering through all the stuff. That is how early video stores felt, because there was no real medium on how to do this. They were just offering movies. And so they were dressing it up how they wanted to. There were lots of different movie rental systems that people have experienced. There were tags that would be under the movies. I experienced that. I think Circle Video did that for a while. So you would go and you'd have this little tag, you know, this little round tag, and you'd take that up to the front, and that's how you get your video.
And see, I was used to the where you'd get the box cover, and then you would take the box up, and they'd either switch out a video for you, or they'd actually put the video in the box for
you. So sometimes if something was missing off the shelf, like you couldn't even see it, it would just be gone. It would be behind the counter because that video was gone. I experience the heartbreak constantly of seeing the video on the shelf, but then there's no video cassette behind it. That will ruin your whole night.
Back then, you'd put your name on a list. You were hoping, like sometimes they'd be like, there's three people ahead of you, so you might not get this for like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, but some systems would have the video cover, and then behind it, instead of just one tape, it'd have two or three tapes. I know the Hollywood Video kind of ran on that.
Yeah.
Because they could afford to have that surplus.
And there was no Google, there was no internet, there was no, you didn't know all of Tim Burton's films. You just had to go to a video store, and every once in a while you'd be like, Edward Scissorhand, or you'd discover something because there was no list for you to like go.
Yeah.
Nowadays you can know every song an artist did, every movie an actor's done, but that's not what it was like in the 80s and early 90s. Like you, every time you went to a different video store, you might be discovering a new Tom Hanks film or... You know,
that's definitely what I experienced. Like there are so many horror movies that I would never have heard of if I just didn't rent something right there. And I love horror movie covers. I think everyone agrees the best art that might have ever been produced for the two decade span of the 80s and 90s came from horror covers. You know, you had your Fright Night. Fright Night is such an awesome cover.
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
You just have that wall that you just have to go down, and you have to touch everything, and you have to turn it over, and you have to read whatever somebody wrote on the back of it to make it compelling. And sometimes, you know, what was written on the back of the case like didn't comport with reality. Like you get home and you watch the movie and you're like, this is not anything like it was described.
Yeah, you get three good photos of the film and then the rest is garbage.
Yes, then that's basically they took the three best photos of that entire thing. And then they took what is essentially the first 20 minutes of the movie, and that's what they put on the back box. Tourist Trap, that's another great cover. I didn't see that movie till I was actually like an adult. I was just mesmerized because it was so weird. If you remember it, people out there, it's kind of like a woman's head on top, but you can clearly tell it's a mask. And then there's sort of a mouth underneath. And then there's around this sort of masked lady, they have like a tourist camera around her neck, like those big old clunky cameras.
Wow.
And that movie is nothing like you think it's going to be. It's very weird, but I just loved every time that cover was very compelling to me.
And you really did have to judge a movie by its cover, because there was nowhere to go and look at movie previews to get a sense of the movie before you watched it. It was just a box.
Yes. They actually started making these really great, especially with horror movies, they started making these really great 3D boxes that I remember. So a big one that's really famous is if you ever see the movie Dead Pit. That was a 3D box with these different green corpses on the front, and it actually had small LED light up eyes. And I came across a couple different versions of that. I don't think the eyes ever worked on the copies that I found.
Yeah, by the time you found it, that battery was worn out.
Yeah, it was worn out.
But you were still mesmerized.
It usually had cracks in it from like where it had bubbled up and like people put their thumbs through it. Yeah, there was Metamorphosis also. This was great because this was like, it had a cover that had glowing eyes. And when you pressed a certain button, it made like Halloween sounds. It went...
How could you resist that movie once like, that happened?
That's, and it's for the movie Metamorphosis, right? So it's just this 90s sort of forgotten like sci-fi movie. And I love it that they went out. They had so much effort. They cared so much about this movie that they went and the extra mile on it.
You can't believe it. It's like sci-fi and horror did so much fun stuff. You can't. That was such a missed opportunity for so many other genres.
The movie Frankenhooker used to have a talking cover. I never got to experience this in real life.
Oh my
but
God.
You'd hit the button and she'd go, "Want a date?
Want a date? Want a date? Want a date?"
It was so rad. I encourage you to look that up. That's
that movie. Fantastic. That was one of those that almost every collection had that movie. It was you were always just so curious, like, is this going to be a horror? Is this a comedy? What is this movie?
I know. I almost started watching that movie the other night. Like, I had a little bit of time and I was scrolling through some other stuff and it came up as a possible movie to watch. And I've seen it many times, but I was like, oh, is this a Frankenhooker night? I don't know. I passed on it ultimately, but I'll be revisiting it pretty soon. And then, you know, and another movie that I remember, this was 1997's Bleeders, which is a horror movie that is pretty good. Check it out. The cover of this box had a plastic outer cover and then had like an inner pocket filled with red goo so that the whole thing was like this blood cover that you could like squish around with your thumbs. It was awesome.
See, while you were having fun in the horror section, I was over like in the foreign film section. Like I remember this box cover that it was so weird. It was like called The Adventure of Picasso. And the box cover felt like you were looking at some like Marx Brothers or Three Stooges. But it had like artists on the cover and you opened the back of the, you looked at the back and it was all these like weird arty, like some guy like dressed like a brick wall, you know, all this other stuff, you know? So for me, it was like, you discover some of these like foreign films that turned out to be like these just big slapstick comedy films, but you were always taking a risk.
Yeah.
But none of those boxes were nearly as cool as what you're describing in the horror section.
No. And the thing is, it never compelled me to actually get the movie. Like I now, in
if
my
those eyes were glowing,
years,
you would have got that.
Yeah,
movie.
I might have. Yeah, might have pushed me over the edge a little bit, but yeah, usually by the time I got to them, they were kind of jacked up. Looking online is I found like good images of them. They looked really rad. I would watch Dead Pit and Metamorphosis now.
If I was wandering to the horror section and I saw some of these boxes, especially if lights were glowing or the box was talking to you, I definitely would have picked that up.
Yeah, I think a lot of people spent most of their time in the horror section. I know that that's where I went first. I would venture out into comedy and like that's where I found Kentucky Fried Movie. You know, I would have no idea that that movie existed.
That was one of those films where after the Naked Gun popularity and you got to a video store and you're like, another Zucker Brothers or, you know.
Yeah. There was something about just stumbling on something great because you had all of this time to just meander and look. I think we've overstated that fact many times. Just being able to be in this space with all of this variety. You have the same thing with streaming, but what bothers me about streaming is it's like whatever the algorithm is showing you is what you're going to see. So I wonder when I'm streaming like on Netflix, unless I know exactly what I'm looking for, like how much good stuff am I missing because I can't take the time to just stop and read the back of it, you know, and be compelled by it.
Well, and the sad thing too now is like there's with streaming, there's so many licenses. And so there's a lot of movies that go on streaming, then get taken off, haven't hit streaming at all yet. And so like movies can disappear.
Yeah.
Like if they can't get all the corporate legality rights, the great thing about the video store, VHS, was like, even if a video went out of print, that video store had it forever. Like
yeah.
you were finding things that were sometimes that were out of print, some things that were just straight to video. And yeah, there's so many movies right now. Like, I mean, Pump Up the Volume for a while, you couldn't find streaming. I don't know if you can. And that was like a great movie. There's lots of movies that, like, you know, if you don't have the video or the DVD copy, you're not going to see it.
Shelter from Oblivion will be right back.
I was going over all the different standees that they used to have. And I sent you a bunch of pictures of like standees from back in the day. I think my favorite probably is either Critters. That one was everywhere. I love that giant fucking critter just
that movie
smiling at you. That thing took up so much space too.
The critter just coming out of the toilet.
What? No.
No, that's Goblin.
That's Goblins?
No, what is that one?
I'm cutting
out. Now I remember this. Critters is that redhead kid.
No, Critters is this guy.
That
big fella. You're talking about Ghoulies.
Ghoulies coming out of the toilet.
Yeah.
There was like, I remember that poster.
Ghoulies 3, where they go to college, was an amazing movie. I really love it. For my money, that's the best one.
Ghoulies take the dorms.
Yeah, see, that's like a whole nother show that I want to do called When Sequels Were Better Than the Originals. And that's going to be on my list.
I like it.
They may flunk out on manners, but they get an A in mayhem. Ghoulies 3. Ghoulies go to college. They put the animal back in the house.
Ones that I experienced myself were the Ghostbusters standee, where they're all like looking up at the explosion at the top of that tower. And I love that one. I don't even know how much that would be to buy now. Like, if you could find a good version of that, I bet that's hundreds of dollars.
I remember Cool World when that came out.
Cool. That yes.
Was, you weren't even sure if you were intrigued about the film, but like the standee was like, all right, what is this?
Yeah, the standee of Cool World was like on the Christmas list of like every young fella.
You're like, all right, Jessica Rabbit, you got some competition.
Yeah, you find us out. Back to the Future 2 was a big one for me. Because it's like, it's the box, but it's all in this great 3D cutout. So you have them like sort of standing out of the car, and there's the back and then the car frame. And then all of those guys are like cut out separately and kind of pushed forward in this great 3D montage. That looks so rad. A movie that I love to this day was Roseanne Barr's She-Devil. You ever remember that movie?
There was a lot of hype, a lot of excitement for that, I think.
Yeah, I always remembered that movie box having red eyes, like Deadpan or Metamorphosis. But I could not find an example of that anywhere. And what I did find is multiple small cardboard table standees.
That's what I
and
probably
those
saw.
Those ones had the red eyes. So it's weird that my memory kind of transposed those things, but I'll go with it. I couldn't find any examples. So
yeah, I don't remember the box doing that, but I do remember that. I do remember that little standee. That movie, they really promoted that movie. That was everywhere.
I know, which is wild because I've never heard anyone talk about that movie outside of my wife, who also loves that film. I have never heard of anybody coming up and saying, "Hey, remember Roseanne Barr's She-Devils? God darn, that was such a good movie." And yet,
and is it Ed Begley Jr. or
it is Ed Begley Jr.
You could not have polar opposite.
Meryl Streep,
like Ed Begley Jr., the first like electric car driver in LA, and Roseanne. You could not have two people that are so different.
I know, and yet they made it work.
Yeah,
and did Meryl Streep won an Oscar for this movie.
Of course, you know.
Of course, she did.
You know,
that cannot be substantiated. That is not true. That is a joke I made up just now. Anybody would have wanted one of these in their house for sure. Like, I would have taken anyone. I would have taken the 12 Monkeys stand up. I would have taken Titanic. I don't care.
Nah, I would have passed on Titanic.
I would have been fine.
You Titanic missed your opportunity. They really should have just had, you know, the little door frame or whatever.
Oh, that would have been rad.
That just have that. Like,
see, nowadays somebody would do that. They would have they would say Titanic. Then they would have a big
and see if there was room for you to hold on.
Yeah, there would be a big door, and then that would be like a cool Instagram.
It'd just
cool
be her by herself, and then you could then take photos. Like, I could fit on this.
Exactly. There'd be a big word bubble over it that says, "See, I can fit."
James Cameron would be so upset.
I remember Nightmare on Elm Street 5, where Freddy Krueger is saying like hush, and he's over that giant messed up like H.R. Geiger baby stroller. Do you remember seeing those?
I do remember that. I kind of remember that, but when you showed it to me again, I was like, they had a lot of fun with that movie for promotions.
Yeah, because I remember they had that whole video promo that they made that got leaked online a while back. Like, there's this great, this company put together this whole skit, and I don't think they used Robert Englund, but they used somebody very similar. And it was a video that went out to video stores compelling them to buy the Nightmare on Elm Street 5 video.
And one more thing, you little putz!
Glenn?
Do I sound like Glenn? No, Einstein! It seems your Mr. Green met with an offer he couldn't refuse. And now, you're going to be reporting to me!
Freddy?
Well, it ain't Mary Poppins! Now, are you going to tell me how you're planning to sell my little movie, or am I going to have to...
Look, Freddy, there's nothing to get upset about here. We're going all out to sell this thing. For starters, we've already moved the national release date, so your video streets on December 20th, which will make it the newest and hottest thing in the stores during the week between Christmas and New Year's, which is the biggest rental week of the year.
I'm listening.
And for in-store, Freddy, our retailers will receive complete POP kits that include a window and wall banner, a 6-foot floor standee, a full-size poster, and a combination counter card fact sheet. As a matter of fact, Freddy, you take a mighty fine picture.
I am a handsome son of a maniac, ain't I?
Which is crazy. And that's the one great thing about the internet now, is that you can start seeing that lost footage of this. It was like a subgenre,
yeah,
of videos.
Like, we didn't, when in the 80s, we did not know that was even a thing.
I had no idea that companies were making, and this is what goes back to what I was talking about when Hollywood was not
interested. They held out for a while.
They were not interested in video. They didn't like it. It was a threat to their business. They went from that all the way to now they're cutting their own internal promos, getting video stores to buy these videos.
I remember one promo you sent me, I believe, where it was like, you know, you could win a trip to go to a zombie prom in New York.
Yeah. So that was a video that I found scrolling through Instagram of Dead Alive cutting together a promo trying to sell their videos. And within that promo, they were promoting, like, if you buy certain things in packs of three, like if you buy this 3-pack of videos, we'll give you this candy container that actually like screams when you take candy out of it, which I have never found ever. I scoured all of eBay. No one has one of these. I don't know if they ever really existed.
If they existed, these video store guys or gals who the video store owners who got this promo, they were keeping it for their own private collection. Well, because I never saw one of these for my grimy hands.
Yeah, so. And no one's bringing them out going, hey, look at this cool thing I have. Like, I cannot find a reference outside of this promo video anywhere about this. And I'm sure it was just some stupid cardboard box with like that little button speaker on the back.
But when you're
right?
A kid,
it just goes,
when you're a kid, if you reach for some candy and it screamed, oh my god.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
A 1993 theatrical release, Dead Alive is the horror film critics and audiences are screaming for.
Everybody should see this movie. It's the best, goriest film so far this year.
Time magazine calls it a family reunion of your bloodiest nightmares.
It's really gross, and it's really disgusting, and it's really, really good.
Truly entertaining.
In its nationwide theatrical release, the film has been backed by television advertising as well as an extensive print campaign. Publicity for the movie included a Dead Alive parade down New York City's Fifth Avenue that led to a gala zombie party celebrating the movie's release. To ensure that Dead Alive is the hottest renter of the Halloween season, each 3-pack is accompanied by an attention-grabbing Dead Alive candy dispenser with an active screaming device. POP includes a 4-color poster and 4-page brochure. Dead Alive is available in both its
To miss out on that.
And it's like, you want to talk about Hollywood embracing something, like, this is all of this effort just for people to buy some extra copies of Dead Alive
to put into the video stores for other
people. Video stores. You know, and so later, as people started realizing that video stores were not only here to stay, they could go anywhere. They were highly profitable. Hollywood got even more involved. I mean, at one point, Hollywood and video stores were just synonymous. They were just feeding video stores, like all of this great press. Well, I showed you that video of when Batman came out in 1989 on video.
Which was already huge.
Yes. Batman, we're going to shoehorn it in somewhere, no matter what topic we're talking about. It came out 4 months after it had premiered.
Which was unheard of, because usually movies took a year, year and a half before they came to VHS.
Yeah. So you have Hollywood actively promoting this VHS, probably for the Christmas season. They are pushing this VHS out. It's making theater owners angry because they're still playing the movie, and now they're already putting it out on video to rent. It was such a promoted event. The studios made a big to-do when it premiered on video in Hollywood. They had the full Batmobile coming down the street. They had a full make-upped Joker in like the real purple Joker suit from the movie, not some knockoff. And he jumps out of the Batmobile. He runs up. There's screaming fans everywhere. It's like the Beatles. And they're screaming. They're going crazy. He runs up. He slaps this sign on the building that says Joker parking only. It was crazy. It was a huge premiere. They were covering it on the local news. It was Batmania for sure.
Last seen, the high-tech remote control sedan was rolling down Sunset Boulevard. The driver of the car is described as a man of average height in grotesque clown makeup. Police have narrowed it down to either the Joker or Ronald McDonald. Commissioner Gordon had no comment.
Now, the early cassette release may give Batman a chance to break E.T.'s home video sales record.
Whatever happened to Batboy and whatever the heck, or Bat, whatever the kid was called. Oh, he's up for the presidency of Warner Brothers? Huh. Thank you, Batman. Thank you very much. Good luck. Sell those tapes. I know Goober, Peters, and Columbia need the money badly. Only $250 million so far the movie's made. Back to you in the studio.
Who was he talking to then? Who was Gary talking to?
We'll have to ask him when we see him.
The release of Titanic on VHS. Titanic is a perfect way to describe it. I don't know if any of you remember. A whole wall was just dedicated to Titanic because you knew how big it was going to be. Blockbuster released Titanic on VHS at midnight on August 31st, 1998. There were commercials of these two Blockbuster attendants, one of them played by Stifler from American Pie, getting ready to accept this horde of women who were standing at the door ready to beat it down to get this video.
Straight.
It's straight.
Titanic, Monday, August 31st at midnight. Guaranteed to be there with a chance to win a fantasy cruise. Free limited edition Titanic print. August 31st at midnight. Get Titanic and go home happy.
Like, I cannot, if you weren't there, I can't tell you how or why this was such a big event in video store history. But there was so much demand for this movie when it came to video that it eclipsed anything I've ever seen since.
And the midnight release, I mean, that was coming right off the back of, you know, when they re-released Star Wars in theaters and they were doing the new Star Wars movies. And I think that was the first time where movies would start at midnight.
I can't remember. I mean, you as right now, I cannot think of a movie at all that ever premiered at midnight.
At a video store.
At a video store.
No. Before or after.
Yes. So this thing was hotter than hot, and they had 10,000 videos.
And it was a double, two box cassette tape.
Oh, man. And, you know, you also couldn't find the movie more after the hype was over. it filled those bins. They were choked with those things. You got to buy all of these great used videos.
And they weren't all great.
Well, they weren't all great, but
some of them were really used up.
Well, yeah, but there are also titles you couldn't find anywhere.
That's true.
Randomly, my dad took me to Circle Video when it was closing in our town. I was able to buy the original Evil Dead. I'd never even seen Evil Dead. I was 13, I think, when I bought it. And I got it just because the cover was a hand coming out and grabbing a lady's neck. And the back seemed pretty compelling. And I was like, okay, this sounds cool. And it was the original VHS. And I still have it. And then next to that, I bought the movie that I thought was going to be the banger, the really good one, which is the movie Ghost House.
Oh, man.
And I was like, okay, Ghost House. This is awesome. This is a little girl. She's got this clown doll that kills people. And, you know, and I'm sure Evil Dead is good too.
Little did you know.
Right. And it's just like little things like that. Like
you wouldn't have found that for like another 5 or 10 years. Like,
oh, yeah. And I certainly wouldn't own like an original run VHS copy.
Yeah.
And so it's like those are those great little moments that you just can't recreate anywhere. You can't get that on streaming. That was a time and place kind of thing.
The sad thing is when they started selling off videos, you were excited because you were buying these for cheap. You were getting the hand of like history, not realizing that these were starting to get faded away. That this was going the way of the dodo.
I can't remember what year I first saw my, like, the first red box.
Yeah.
I was
in college.
I was living in a big city, and I remember there was one in Safeway. And, you know, and at that point, like, everything was like 99 cents for a movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is cool. This seems neat. This is kind of convenient. But we actually had a Blockbuster right across the street from us. So it's like you have this red box right here, and you could turn around, look through the windows of the Safeway into the Blockbuster. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, this is kind of convenient. This is cool for first runs. You know, this is another place that you could buy a movie if like it's out at Blockbuster. Cool.
Yeah.
I thought they would work in tandem.
But no, but I mean, Blockbuster, because I remember when Hollywood Video started selling off their video collection to be more like Blockbuster. Because Blockbuster, like in the mid to late 90s, they just started selling off all the old movies, and then they would have like 30 copies of Titanic when it came out. And then they somehow just started turning into less about movies and more about, you know, 30 copies of Sopranos, Sex and the City.
I remember that change.
And like movies were just starting to like recede and disappear from the video store.
Yeah. Especially when those HBO shows became so popular, they would dedicate larger and larger portions to renting out those shows. And yeah, the walls became less dynamic, and they would have like, you know, the top, what is it, like 7 movies that were coming out. They would have space for those.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything else would kind of get shoved to these racks or, disappear completely. So towards the end, it was getting to be much more corporatized. I mean, everywhere, like smaller mom and pop shops were actually closing up.
Well, and that's like, I mean, I know a lot of people have this like reminisce about Blockbuster and the Blockbuster days, but Blockbuster was kind of like Walmart. When they came into your town, all the small mom and pop shop video stores got nervous because they quickly started to just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of places in our town. There's like a Family Video that was really big, and it kind of stayed alive for a while because it was in a neighborhood that was kind of offset from any other video stores, walking distance from all of these houses.
Yeah.
And there was food nearby, and so they had kind of a sweet spot, and they held on for a really long time. But yeah, I think by the end, I was mostly going to Hollywood Video. We had a Blockbuster in our town, but it was actually put into this parking lot.
Yeah.
And it was really tiny. It did not have the selection you really wanted. But Hollywood Video was on a much bigger piece of property, and so they had a lot more stuff. They had great horror.
Yeah.
They had really good comedy.
But Hollywood eventually tried to be like Blockbuster, and I think that was their downfall.
Because they
sold off the collection, and they just started to have 30 and 40 copies of the same movie. And you lost that sort of community. You lost that place where you went into it. You could discover something. There was like all these old movies, and it just quickly turned into like, you know, just a handful of like, here's some hits, and then that's it.
Yeah, you kind of see like people think that the Red Box or what have you was the downfall of the video going experience, and it was to a certain degree, and media changing certainly was. Streaming definitely had things to do with it, but let's not bullshit each other and say that it wasn't already getting really sanitized,
yeah,
and really mundane towards the end anyway. Towards the 2010s, Portland had Movie Madness.
Yeah, which and is still going strong.
Yeah. Oh, that place is rad. And, you know, I'm sure right now in Austin, Texas, you could find a cool place. You know, New York City.
Well, like in New York, I remember in like 2005, 2010, what happened is a lot of the big stores, like a lot of the big video stores would start to close down because of the rents. And then you would have other places that they were only staying alive, I think, because they were starting to buy Criterion Collection. And so somebody would buy up the same model you were talking about in the 70s. Somebody would buy the entire Criterion Collection, and then you could go into a video store or a DVD store and rent whatever you wanted from the Criterion. And then some of those held out into like the late, you know, 2008, 2000, but then they started like disappear also.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough.
Let's just find something to please both of us. And do not go into the adult section.
I don't even know where the adult section is. Ah, here are the classics.
You cannot have a video store reference in media without bringing up the adult section. And there were a couple in my town that were pretty rad. Not that I'd gone in them, but they were very prevalent, and they had the classic beaded curtain.
You'd be looking through the video section, whatever, and then you just see some gentleman just walk right past the counter and then right behind some curtain. You're like, what's over there?
Yeah.
Like, is that rated R? Like, there's rated R movies on the shelf. What could be in there?
There's multiple methods, like you said, to kind of make that separation between the regular world and the adult world. And
I imagine some of these were just what would have been a supply closet.
Yeah.
It's just a little room.
They just put a couple of neon lights in there.
Yeah.
To like, yeah. And that's a weird thing, too, is why did the adult section have to be sleazy looking?
Yeah.
Like every adult section that I remember, and maybe this is me making up memories, I do remember that the lighting in there was actually different. They usually had like a neon sign or something above the door to indicate that this was an adult area. It's like even though there was porno in there, it's like we also had to make it feel like porno in there.
Like almost shaming you. It wasn't guys dressed as Leisure Suit Larry walking in and out. It was like some tired dad that you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe some school administrator that you didn't quite recognize.
Well, and I was thinking too about like how many different methods have you seen in your life of how to keep children out of those sections? All of them were flimsy.
Yeah. I remember one where it was the same sort of like black caging that they would have the videos connected to, and they just had like a curtain around it. And so you were going into like what was like,
oh, almost
like
a
voting
weird.
Booth. Like a voting booth. It was like you were just going into some made up room.
Oh no. You know?
Like,
well, really, because every time I've experienced that, it's always been a dedicated room. There was always a door frame.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen some that were definitely just a little section that
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, because usually it was beads. That was big. That wasn't just a movie thing. I saw that
beads,
in real life.
Curtains.
One thing that somebody sparked my memory on this, and I've also seen it, but saloon doors.
Oh. I do remember the saloon doors, actually. I do I do feel like I've seen one of those before.
You would never be more confident coming out of the adult section, pushing two saloon doors away.
I feel like with the saloon doors, you'd have a guy going in with like the members only jacket and a fanny pack and the comb over. Right? And then he'd walk out in a whole leisure suit, you know, coming through being like, all right, it's all metamorphosis. Right. Friday night just got better or something.
He's like, that's right. I got Debbie Does Dallas. So you're like, yeah, I can buy
a film roll rolls by like a, you know, like a,
yeah, like that canister rolls by.
Yeah. If you tried to peek in through the saloon door or the curtain, like you didn't, it wasn't like there were like standees or anything really. Like,
yeah.
All you noticed were like the boxes were bigger. Like, what's that big box? I don't quite know what's on the packaging.
That's so funny. I didn't even think about that.
You would think they'd be smaller, like a little more discreet. And instead it was like the box of shame.
They were like, bigger. They were like these giant styrofoam tablets. Oh my gosh. Oh, memory unlocked.
Yeah.
Superstar Video, the Castro Movie Store, offers you a spectacular selection of thousands and thousands of movies for as low as $2 overnight for any title you choose, including our extensive collection of adult videos.
Adult videos. Adult videos.
I think that we've covered every possible thing we could talk about for the video rental experience. I encourage everyone listening to this, like it, leave a comment. We really want to hear about what video renting was like for you and what it meant to you. It meant a whole lot to us.
And if you didn't get to experience it firsthand, maybe some of you guys live in cities where they have these retro video stores that are popping up. Are any of you interested in this? Do any of you have stories about going to any of these places? What's it like for a new generation discovering this for the first time? Let us know.
Yeah. I had toyed with the idea of turning our garage into a video rental store for the neighborhood. Still might, but like the logistics on it about like keeping track of everyone who has like, you know, one of my tapes or something.
Have a little video list.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of work. Please go to our Facebook page, go to our Instagram page. You can just search for Shelter from Oblivion. I think we're the only ones out there. We're posting stuff all the time just that has to do with 80s, 90s toy stuff. It's kind of all over, but like in a good way. Like it's just things that everyone remembers and they're interested in. And we couldn't be any happier for you guys, especially after hearing that first episode. If you're back for more from that, we can't appreciate you more. Thank you so much.
If we were a video store, we'd be a collection of just posters and our favorite stuff. So I know there's lots of 80s and 90s stuff flying around the internet, and we're just here to curate some of that to what we experience. So if you just want to like take all that noise and just put it down to a small little exhibit, think of it that way for us. We're going to just show you some of our favorite stuff from that era.
Yeah, thank you for coming down to the shelter today, and we will be back very soon.
Patrick!
What is it?
Where are you going?
I've got to return some videotapes.